Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Hey, yo, mic check, 1, 2, episode, this 138?
138.
We got a lot of motherfucking episodes, dog.
Yes,
episode
we do.
One, come on, 138 Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. How you been, Josh?
I'm cooling, man. You know, I'm feeling optimistic about things that's going on right now, yeah?
It's, you know, if you would have told me, we were talking about this before we turned the mics on, but if you would have told me 4 weeks ago that a brother would have been killed, you know, unfortunately, and that the police department that was responsible for it, they would have had their precinct burnt down, and then that there would be thousands of protests around the world, I'd have been like, man, I don't know, but like, who wrote that script? Like, me and Josh,
yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Shit has been moving so fast. Like, we live in South Philly, right? Which is one of Philly's like pockets for racism. You know what I mean? Like, the Mummers are here. It's like historically, it's been a largely working class white neighborhood. And there was a Black Lives Matter protest down our block yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just shit is moving really quickly. And,
yeah,
and people
absolutely are
I've noticed people being like more and more radical in their approach to things and how they've been speaking about the world.
Yeah. I definitely see like some major we're living in a real time of like, yo, fucking people getting they cards pulled, and you're seeing it in, and what I love is that we're seeing it in all arenas. We're not just seeing it in like one specific area, or like, yeah, from fucking sex work down to, you know, journalism. Like, people getting their cards pulled everywhere.
Yeah, if if you're not black and you ain't know a strong, I ain't talking about no bullshit BLM post, you know what I mean? If you're not black and you ain't throw up no strong post, motherfuckers is right at your doorstep with it, it seemed like.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then even if you did throw it up and you got a questionable history, motherfuckers calling you out on that shit.
It's crazy. List ex-job, her former employer, put up like a, you know, we're dedicated to diversity and inclusion, and you know, anytime somebody say we're dedicated to diversity and inclusion, that's some bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, that's like a dog whistle. But they said all of this stuff about, you know, diversity and we're committed to it and blah blah blah, and they don't have any black people working in their company, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so how, it's not like, you know, you have no black people and then you got like a bunch of Asian folks and a bunch of brown people over here. No, it's like one brown guy and that's it.
Yeah.
The whole company, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you said, a lot of people are making statements and like speaking out, but people are critically looking at this shit like, well, what's your history? What's your background? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are grinding up. Mark Wahlberg is trending on Twitter right now because he said something about George Floyd and like racism and shit. And niggas like, Marky Mark, you've been committing hate crimes since the fucking 80s. Somebody said Marky Mark, the only nigga who his Wikipedia page got a section called hate crimes just for all the shit that he's done. So yeah, it's really like people, like you said, people cards are getting pulled, and I feel like this moment is challenging people to really address racism in a broad sense, but like specifically anti-blackness, which is something that I think gets lost in the shuffle sometimes.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I saw somebody say, like, stop saying people of color when you mean black.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, that's, you know, that's definitely a thing. And it's a way, I don't typically use the word erasure, but it really is that in a lot of ways. We're dealing with a police force that absolutely brutalizes women, absolutely, or a police system that absolutely brutalizes women and like people of all colors. You know what I'm saying? But when we're talking about how they specifically lean on black people, we need to be talking about that because it's a specific problem that requires specific solutions.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think that's part of why the phrase, the retort, all lives matter, is so poisonous, because it deflects from a specific problem. If you got glaucoma, I'm not going to come talking to you about your tonsils.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? We got to get to that glaucoma or whatever specific illness you're dealing with. We got to address that, not start talking about, you know, the leg bone and like gout and all of this other shit that don't have nothing to do with your specific problem. That's what really, and for me and my feeling, like what really makes the All Lives Matter thing so poisonous. It deflects away from what needs to be talked about. And in a lot of ways, that conflating POC with black also does that.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know what? It's simple and plain. Like, listen, if I say save the whales, I don't mean fuck every other animal on the planet. Like, you know what I mean?
And I feel like people know that, but they don't. They're saying all lives matter because they're not comfortable with Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and also because I think it's a large part of like America in general, but I feel like this is an issue all over the world. People don't want to talk about race, man, and like they don't want to address the systemic issues that have faced black people in this country that are unique to black people. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, there's racism in this country all over the place. Indigenous people face their own distinct racial issues, and black people face theirs, and Asian people face theirs. Like, there's certain issues that affect different communities specifically.
Right.
But we're talking about black lives right now.
Right.
Because that's what we need to address. Like, you know, and it's not a exclusion to like, hey, listen, man, like indigenous people have serious issues with the police and like, you know, missing, you know, the stolen sisters and so many indigenous women missing all over the country. Right.
Yeah.
But we're not saying that's not an issue. We're just saying like Black Lives Matter right now. Like what we're talking about right now is Black Lives Matter.
Right. And like, you know, don't we want to deal with everybody's issues specifically, uniquely, and like get this shit handled? You know what I mean? I feel like saying all lives matter to someone who's saying black lives matter, it's like nothing. It's no option. Like it's you're not even offering a solution in that sense. It's just a rhetorical device because you feel uncomfortable about that specific about that specific phrase that centers black people and black life. You know what I mean? In my ideal world, in my ideal, you know, way this whole thing shakes out, we address everybody's stuff.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And everybody's challenges. And then we, you know, maybe not us in our lifetime, but maybe our kids or kids' kids look back at this years later and like, you know, we really live in a better world than our parents did. That's
absolutely
the fucking goal. The goal ain't to, you know, get uncomfortable and get defensive and say, well, all lives matter. Like that shit, you know what I mean? It's the end of that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're seeing a change in a lot of people's mentalities. And I'm not even talking about just changing. I'm not talking about changing like the minds of racists. I'm talking about the rest of us who are like invested in humanity. We're like not taking this shit no more. You know what I mean? And it's beautiful to fucking see.
Absolutely. I think it's important that, you know, when we look at all this shit that's going down, like taking any kind of solace in like what we are seeing changed. And like, I'm dead serious, man. Like, you know, shout out to Killamanzaga. She mentioned, you know, damn, Twitter is a wonderful tool. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I mean, like me and you talked about like the pains in the ass that social media can be. But I think it's really important to recognize like what Twitter and Facebook, to a much lesser degree, and Instagram really, what these social media services can do for like what's going on. Like, yo, man, like 10 years ago, you know, we weren't going to have the ability to call out all these places at the at the drop of a tweet. Like, you know right. what I mean? You know, right. you can't, you know, you can't call out, you know, fucking ESPN for some bullshit 10 years ago without, you know what I mean? Like Twitter being a thing and being able to be like, yo, I'm tagging this person and like we're going to retweet this 10,000 times.
Right. The ability to spread messages like we were talking about this earlier as well. Prison abolition and defunding police is a very much, I don't want to say it's necessarily a mainstream position politically. Mm-hmm. It's reached the mainstream as far as a talking point. And a Absolutely. Conversation. You know what I mean? Changing the world requires imagination. And you can't imagine some shit that you ain't never heard of. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So social media has been really good about connecting people. Like for example, Teen Vogue is a super dope publication. You know, they got like some like real radical motherfuckers who are like their editors now, and
yeah, they've been doing some wild stuff.
Yeah, they'll just be dropping. They're to the left of like a lot of these like socialist and democratic socialist publications that like old niggas hand you. You ever go to like a rally and like an old white dude hand you like a socialist pamphlet? Mm-hmm. Teen Vogue is to the left of that shit. You know what yeah. I mean, on like the radical spectrum. And one of their editors tweeted some shit, and I was like, yo, not to like hijack the thread, but is it cool if I drop some like resources on like the history of like black anarchist and like black anti-authoritarian thought and organizing? And they were like, yo, yeah, you know, go for it. So I just started throwing like Kwesi Balogun and like, you know, the Lorenzo Irvin and like all these different like resources on like black folks who've, you know, said we don't need police, we don't need prisons, we don't need the state, and this is how we do it, or this is how we work towards it. Russell Maroon Schultz, you know what I mean? I was just dropping yeah. all this like black anarchist shit, dog. When I say my phone, this is probably like a Thursday night or a Friday, my phone ain't stopped ringing. Like the little notifications on Twitter, thousands yeah. of people were hitting that shit and probably writing down these yeah. resources. You know what I'm saying? My phone ain't stopped dinging the whole weekend. So it really is, social media, especially Twitter, is really a good way of quickly disseminating information and connecting with people. I have editors. I'm thinking of one editor in particular. I ain't know the homie was a anarchist. This is an editor that I've been working with probably since like 2015. Yeah. You know what I mean? And we just connected on Twitter, and I was like, "Oh, you wanna get rid of the state too? You wanna get rid of police too?" You know what I mean? It's like a dope connective tool, and we need that to spread information.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, obviously, like, these videos, that's how, like, we get aware mostly of, like, state violence. Like, you know what I mean? That's
right.
If you're waiting on fucking TV to tell you, like, you'll be waiting 2-3 days later. Like, you know, this is how we disseminate this information. Yeah. You know, it's how we learn about different things. Like, you know, I do get, you know, I get stressed out with, like, social media sometimes, just in the fact that, like, it's really hard to be in someone's brain all the time, other people's mm-hmm. brains all the time. But, right. like, those are decisions I'm making to get on. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That doesn't devalue what that platform gives you.
Yeah, it's a tool. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I've learned about so much shit just in the last couple of weeks of, like, you know, just because of Twitter and, like, and social. I mean, like, listen, man, like, do those bail funds, are they getting overloaded with money without social media as a platform?
Right, dog. And we could take a break because we're coming up on that time. But yeah, it's crazy. Shout out to the homie Will. He hit me up. He was redoing the Deadverse website. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yo, I'm cooking up a list of, like, resource funds that people can donate to, specifically what's an organization you want added. And I was like, yo, add the it's like a Black trans woman's homelessness fund. And dog, I looked when I went to their website and just, or the GoFundMe, and looked at it, they had raised like 1.5 million or some crazy shit. There's no way that happens without social media. It's something that's funded by individuals, small donations. It's not tied to, you know, some, like, venture capitalist or angel investor or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not tied to, like, big money. You know, it's just, it's incredible to see. But we can hop out and take a break and come back and talk about one of our favorite subjects. Frank Rizzo. We got some updates about that. So yeah, we gonna pop out and come right back.
No doubt.
Boom, back in effect. So yeah, an interesting turn of events over the past, really, like, a week. You know what I mean? Over the past. Speaking of, like, things moving quickly and, like, the winds of change. So last week, during the protests, a bunch of protesters were attempting to tear down the statue of Frank Rizzo.
Yes.
For folks who don't know, who aren't from Philly, Frank Rizzo was, he started off as a beat cop, you know, brutalized his way.
Emphasize the word beat.
he brutalized his way up the ranks and became Philadelphia's police commissioner in the 70s. And then would later, or was, I don't know if he was commissioner in the late 60s, but he would later become
the mayor
of the city. This is a person who was a flagrant racist. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned vote earlier, white. Vote white was
an actual quote.
That was a quote for him when he, you know, him trying to, like, galvanize the citizens of Philadelphia. Vote white. He also sicked dogs and police officers on
student black protests.
Yeah. Black high schoolers and college kids who were protesting to get, they just wanted black studies. Mm-hmm. In school, you know what I mean, in the late 60s, and he sicked dogs on them. He also famously forced a group, they raided the Black Panther headquarters, mm-hmm. and forced a group of Panthers to strip down in the street in front of cameras.
Yeah.
And it's like a famous image of them just, like, lined up against the wall, no clothes on, and, you know, Rizzo was behind that. So, obviously, people in the city hate this person. He should have never, you know, gotten a statue. But folks were attempting to rip it down. It got so intense that apparently the artist who created it was considering coming back to Philadelphia to take it down himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he said, like, you got to be careful. Like, it's a subway platform. It's a subway underneath of there. And, like, if you tear it out of the ground, it could collapse the whole fucking the whole area around
it. Yeah, and you could all, like, fall through into the subway. So this thing has been in front of the municipal building since the late 90s. It's a fucking eyesore, or it was. But it was recently removed.
Yes.
You know what I mean? After years of activists calling for its removal. I know multiple people who have defaced this statue over the years. I ain't gonna give y'all no shout outs, you know what I mean? But like, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's crazy to see that being taken down, and in a way that energy has kind of spread out, because we're seeing in Bristol, you know, in England, there was a statue of a slave trader who, you know, they tore the statue down, kneeled on him, and then rolled him into the river.
That shit down a street for a while. It wasn't like right on the bay. Like,
it wasn't right there.
Yeah, they had to roll that bitch.
They was probably doing that shit in shifts, like, yo, I'm tired, come on in. And the community came out and rolled that shit into the river. Mm-hmm. And we've been seeing it in the South. These Confederate generals and Confederate monuments have been defaced, and then the state has agreed to remove them.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's crazy. If you'd have told me, you know, 2 weeks ago, like, yo, they gonna tear that Rizzo statue up, I'd have been like, you know, I don't know if I would have believed it.
I've heard that before. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Heard that before, but I ain't holding my breath.
Right. It's been wild. It's been real crazy to see just how effective protest is.
Yeah, I mean, and Rizzo is symbolic of not just, like, the racism and police oppression here in Philadelphia, but, like, he's, like, the precursor to this crazy policing that we see all over the country, and how tied in all these police, that the police union is, and policing is to every city. And like, he's a precursor to a lot of that shit, man. Like, what he did to work the union into, like, every aspect of city government and
consolidating power. Yeah.
Yeah. Consolidating power and, like, increasing budgets for police force. This is not, you know, this is a big thing because, you know, like, you know, me and you were talking about talking about this earlier before the mics went on. You know, statues honor people. Statues, murals, they honor people. Okay. So when you have a statue up of somebody like that, we're saying we're honoring this human being.
Right. It's not something that's, like you mentioned earlier about history and somebody saying, well, what about you're erasing history? That's not history. You know what I mean? No. That's a cosign.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
We build a statue to somebody. This is a person, you know, speaking to, like, the police as they are now, you know, armed with military weapons, you know, using military tactics on American civilians. Frank Rizzo famously would refer to the Philadelphia Police Department as his army.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So this is a person who we know hated black people, would taunt black people, you know what I mean, brutalize black people. This black ass city, and we don't need no monuments to this person. Nope. Put up a fucking monument to Sylvester Stallone. You know what I mean? If you want to do something, you know, for like an Italian American is connected to Philadelphia somehow. Not this guy. Not this guy that was beating people's children in the street. This fucking thug. Like, get him out of here.
Nah, and people who listen know that we, a couple years ago, 2 years ago, matter of fact, started a petition to get the mural, the Rizzo mural that's like, what, a couple blocks from your crib now?
Yeah, in the Italian Market.
In the Italian Market. And we started the petition to get him replaced with Gritty. the city's mm-hmm. hero. Although now I'm wondering if we should do Riot Elmo.
Right. I swore, and I feel like we both low-key predicted this, when the revolution would jump off, that Gritty would be, you know, yes. on the front lines. He's been laying low. I don't know if he, like, sold out to, like, corporate interests or whatever. He's been laying low. It's really been, like,
he got himself a city job, and you know what I mean?
Goddamn. It's really... the Elmo has been out here, you know what I mean? Just like niggas burning cop cars, he right there in the mix.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know who that brother is, but shout out to him. So it's crazy to see, because they painted over the mural this morning.
Yeah, this morning when I got up, and shout out to the brother Steve. He had tagged me. I had saw it somewhere else, but I saw it on Instagram before I saw it. Shout out to Ursula Rucker. Actually, I saw it on her page this morning when I first got up. And then when I got on Facebook, I saw the brother Steve had tagged us in it.
Crazy.
And I was delighted to see it. It was it's a long time coming, man. And I mean, again, something that happened like that.
Right.
They defaced it again like last week, and mm-hmm. then like people were just like, after they decided, yo, we're taking the statue down last week, they were like, all right, well, we're gonna start talking about the mural. Mm-hmm. It got defaced again, and then Mural Arts was like, yeah, we're not fixing it no more. Like, right. we're not gonna keep it up.
Mural Arts has been feeling the heat over this mural for a while.
Yeah, for a little bit.
You know what I'm saying? And when our petition went up, a homie, I'm not going to say their name because they might still work for them, but a homie who works for Mural Arts told me that they were having meetings about our petition and about removing or distancing themselves from that mural.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it took a resurgence of energy, like you said, around the statue for Mural Arts to be like, you know what, we just going. And I think the building owner had to collaborate on that too.
Yeah.
So the building owner, this is what I believe happened. The obviously I'm not privy to whatever's happening internally at Mural Arts, but I feel like the Rizzo statue went down. Mural Arts were like, yo, we can't be associated with this guy anymore. So they put out a statement saying like, yo, we're not going to maintain it anymore. Because for years, the rhetoric from Mural Arts was like, well, you know, it's our mural, but the building owner decides whether it stays or goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Mural Arts in their own way forced the building owner's hand by publicly announcing, yo, we're not going to maintain it anymore. So the building owner is probably looking like, okay, people are going to keep defacing it, and now Mural Arts ain't going to pay to get it fixed.
Absolutely.
So let's just have it painted over.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there comes a certain point where you're just like, all right, so now not only do we have like this controversial figure on the side of our building, and now it's going to get defaced and not fixed, we're not paying to get the shit fixed.
Right.
So, right. You know what? Like, fuck it. We'll just take it down. Like, why have the bad press and then have it defaced, you know, then have your building defaced all the time? Like, you know what I mean? Or the side of your building defaced all the time. And it's then, not worth it.
Yeah, people know once Mural Arts steps back and says, well, it ain't on us no more. Now people know that you're intentionally, as the building owner, you're riding with this guy and with his image and what he represents. It's crazy, too, because before we moved into, we knew we wanted to live in South Philly. Before we moved to the apartment where we are now, we looked at an apartment that was like literally right across the street.
Yeah, I was about to say, I remember you telling me it was like right across the street.
Dog, because like it was a dope apartment. It was like a little small, but it was dope. And we would have been right in the Italian Market, which would have been cool, you know what I mean? On like some getting food and groceries type shit. But every morning we would have like walked out the crib and looked right at that shit, like directly across the street. You know what I mean? I don't know what they're going to replace it with, but almost anything would be better than Frank Rizzo.
Yeah, I was telling somebody earlier on Twitter, because they were, you know, they obviously, you know, people are like, oh, what are you going to do? I was like, well, you know, maybe replace it with, you know, a history of the Italian market.
Right, right. This, like, the mural that they have outside of Dalloc is like a history and like prominent figures, people in the neighborhood of like that little area, Cedar Park area.
Yeah, like do that. Or, you know, if there's, I'm sure there's plenty of other Italian figures from this area that you could throw a mural up for, or, you know, whatever. Like there's a million things you could put up there, man, that don't need to be fucking Frank Rizzo. Like, right. So, I mean, you know, I tweeted it earlier today from the account of just like, you know, it's a small victory, but it's a victory.
Yeah, absolutely. I see people who, when the Rizzo statue went down, and people were like, well, you know, the city's still racist. Like, a fucking course, and the sky's blue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this world is inundated with racism, white supremacy, anti-blackness. Like, of course the city's still racist. You know, people don't have to wake up and, you know, early in the morning and go to work and walk past a statue of somebody who beat their grandmother.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with when people make the argument against, like, fucking the Washington football team's name, right? Mm. And they go like, yeah, but, you know, they still have, there's, you know, indigenous folks have bigger issues. It's like, yeah, but they also don't have to have a racial slur as a fucking team name.
Right. Right.
Like, just because you're, like, addressing one thing doesn't mean you're ignoring everything else.
Yeah.
So, like they participated in the Blackout Tuesday thing.
Wow, really?
And I retweeted it like, hey, look at the definition of irony. Like, you know right. what I mean? Like,
that's so crazy.
Your team is named after a racial, a Webster Dictionary defined racial slur.
Right, right. Some shit you wouldn't even, in 2020, some shit you wouldn't even say, you know, in quote unquote polite company.
Exactly.
Like, come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Yeah, nah, I mean, listen, man, there's a lot of shit, like, you know, that, you know, small victories are still victories to celebrate, man. Like, you know, yeah. Because, you know, listen, man, battles are won through small victories. Like, you know, no one wins a battle, right. in one fell swoop. Like, you know what I mean? It takes little shit to win.
Right. And I, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I question, like, in the example that you gave with the team mascot and the team name, it's like when folks are righteously outraged about something like that, and then somebody else comes in with, oh, well, we got bigger things to worry about. I question, you know, the sincerity of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People are righteously outraged about being disrespected. That's like a just cause for people to be exactly. riled up. That's not a frivolous thing. So I question people's sincerity when they come in with stuff like that. It's like, what are you really talking about, or what do you really want to see us expend energy on? Do you know, we as human beings waste time and energy on things? 1,000%, absolutely.
Yeah.
But tearing down a monument to a slave trader, to someone who brutalized your people and terrorized your people, somebody who, Frank Rizzo, I'm speaking of specifically, started the confrontation with MOVE that ended up with the MOVE bombing and, you know, a whole city block on fire and people's children dying. That's a righteous cause regardless of what else we got going on. We always exactly. gonna have other shit going on.
Yeah, there's always another battle to be won. Yeah, there's always another battle to be won, but that doesn't mean you can't, you know, celebrate the one that you did just win.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
what's so
you know,
wrong with that? I feel like a lot of times, especially on social media, you know, people want to appear. This isn't a phrase that I came up with. Somebody else did, but I can't remember who. Because somebody tweeted earlier today, like, are y'all still down with this Black Lives Matter shit, or are y'all over it now? And a person said, people want to appear ahead of any curve.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Or smarter or, you know, whatever for any room. And it's like, dog, this shit is like life or death. It's not, you know, what table niggas sit in the cafeteria. You know what I mean? It's not like a frivolous thing about appearing, you know, too cool for school. You know, I feel like a lot of that, that's the impulse behind a lot of, oh, y'all worried about that. You need to be worried about this. How about we worry about all these things in due time?
Yeah, exactly. Everything can get addressed. A lot of it is, it's like, you know, with everything going on, it's crazy. And, you know, attention is being paid to a lot of, you know, the protests and, you know, defunding and abolishing police and
right.
All these different things, right? But, like, the news came out that, like, oh, the NBA has a plan to come back in the end of July. And I was like, oh, that's what's up. I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
And
hell yeah.
Someone said to me, like, yeah, but we got, like, other stuff going on. I said, no, that, yeah, definitely. And I'm not taking my eye off the ball either. But, like, I can compartmentalize the idea of, like, yeah, I'm happy that the NBA is going to come back. But, you know, all right, and let's also defund the police. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, literally, I can walk and chew gum. Both. Yeah, I can walk and chew gum, dog. Like, it's, I'm not, my brain isn't, like, so, you know, so little that I can't do one thing and not do the other.
Right. You know, shout out to everybody that attempted to pull the Frank Rizzo statue down.
Yes.
Shout out to anybody who's ever set it on fire, ever threw, you know, a pair of panties on top of it, or, you know what I mean, wrote, you know, Nazi on it, spray painted it, whatever. You know, all of your collective effort. And people who've written, you know, petitions and all these different things, people who go on to city council meetings,
mm-hmm.
our collective effort made this possible.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So it's a beautiful day. You know, we're going to wake up tomorrow and there's going to be no public, that I know of, no public tributes to Frank Rizzo.
Yeah.
Because our city deserves better. Our people deserve better. And it's a beautiful fucking thing to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Did you see that? I don't know, man. This dude is he's all over the place. But did you see that apparently your man Kanye is going to pay for George Floyd's daughter's college? He started a college fund for her.
Right.
And he donated, what, $2 million?
$2 million, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
To social justice. I don't know if it was one specific organization or not.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy too, because, like, people have been like, where Ye at? You know what I mean?
Ye
doing exactly what Ye need to be doing. You know what I mean? Kick out some bread, fall back. They said he was out with the people in Chicago. You know,
yes.
He was masked up and, you know what I mean, out there marching. And Ye's parents were activists.
Yeah.
Back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, shout out to him. I don't need him, you know, going on Twitter or TMZ and making those statements. Not to, like, silence him, like, as a human being, but, you know, he doing exactly what he need to be doing, as far as
yes,
I'm concerned.
Yes, absolutely. I've seen some people going, like, yo, it was a grand plan, and he did all this to set himself up. It was all a master plan. I'm like, I don't know about all that, dog. But,
like, what's the hook in that? Like, where's the master plan? Got to have, like, a twist to it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know about all that, but I do know, like, yeah, listen, man, he did a good thing. You know, one of the saddest but happiest things I think I saw from that was, like, his, you know, shout out to Stephen. What's my brother's name? Who looks just like George Floyd. Stephen Jackson. I was about to say that, and I was like, that's the wrong thing. I'm thinking the dude who blew in LeBron ear and shit. That was the... I was thinking of him for a
second.
Lance Stevenson, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, Stephen Jackson had George Floyd's daughter on his shoulders.
Wow.
And she was like, my daddy changed the world.
That's so crazy.
And it's like, as sad as that is, because he had to die to do it, it was like, you know, heartwarming as well.
Right.
And so, like, yeah, somebody can pay for that little baby to go to school.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, yeah. Like.
Dog, shout out to Ye for that. You know what I mean? Because we've seen a lot of celebrities when stuff like this flares up. And because we're so close to celebrities, you know what I mean, in a way that was not possible, you know what I mean, before social media, I think people have an expectation, or at least an increased expectation, for celebrities to, like, directly speak out about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? So folks have been like, oh, what does so-and-so think about this? Or what's such and such saying? Or where's so-and-so at in all of this? Ye did, you know, exactly what we needed him to do. You know what I mean? Like, you donate to people who are on the ground organizing and trying to take care of this shit. You know, you set up the fund for that brother's daughter to be able to educate herself. That's cool. You know what I mean? We don't need Ye tweeting or none of that shit. Because you see some of these celebrities, you know, they motherfuckers make you want to, like, unfollow them.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think some people, listen, man, everybody isn't, you know, everybody doesn't know what to say. Like, you know what I mean? Especially, like, you know, complete nuanced things to say. I mean, you know, you could tweet Black Lives Matter, cool. But, like, everybody doesn't know exactly what to say.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's okay. Like, everybody does it. Listen, man, like, there's, you know, I saw this and it's completely true. Is like, you know, everybody isn't a frontline person. Everybody isn't an organizer. Everybody, like, there's different ways to contribute, man. And, like, he contributed something. And, like, man, paying for that baby to go to school is huge, man. Yeah. Like, it's huge. Do you think we should probably hop into another break?
Yeah. You want to hop into a break and talk new music, or?
Yeah. I checked out Rami, and I would like to talk a little bit about that before we get to new music. But, like, we can do that real quick. We don't got to get deep in. So.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't watched season 2 yet. That might be on deck for tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break.
Boom, back in effect. So yeah, did you listen to anything new this week?
So I checked out this artist. His name is Briggs. He's an Aboriginal artist.
Oh, okay.
From Australia. He has a single out right now called Extra Extra.
Word.
That's really dope. He's part of a group too with another brother whose name I forget, but they're called AB Original, like Aboriginal. Mm-hmm. He also just recently posted, Spotify got him to post a bunch of Aboriginal artists that he fucks with. So you can get that off his IG story. He's dope, man. Like, I'm gonna check out some more of his stuff, but his single Extra Extra is real dope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to find artists from different countries and specifically indigenous artists, obviously, but like artists from different countries who do hip hop. You know, I'm trying to expand my repertoire. You know what I mean?
Dog, there's so much hip hop from around the world, and it's dialoguing with each other, you know what I mean. I was watching, they were protesting in New York, and somebody had like a video of it, and people were just in the street dancing to Pop Smoke and, like, you know, rest in peace Pop Smoke and all that, and just like turning up and dancing at the protest. And I was looking and I was like, damn, this shit, I'm listening to Pop Smoke and I'm seeing all these young people. Obviously, they're like New Yorkers. And I'm like, damn, this beat is like some straight UK drill shit.
Yeah.
But like, this is in a completely New York context. hip hop is spread so much around the world, it's cool to see how that dialogue is happening back and forth, where people are influenced by music from over here and then from over there. It's just really dope to see.
Yeah, definitely. It's like circling back.
Right.
Also, speaking of UK, shout out to Chapati G, the homie Chapati G, from People Just Do Nothing. He has a song out right now. He's done a bunch. He's released a couple different songs, like just like little singles or whatever. He released one now. This song called "Skin That I'm In," and it's based on a short film called "Skin Deep." Mm-hmm. Oh no! Actually, it's called "Skin Is My Sin." Is what it's called. I apologize. And it's based on a short film called "Skin Deep," that is about young Pakistani kid who can pass. It's about passing, essentially. Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And like wanting to be a part of like these neo Nazis because of self hatred, and I think that's
right
huge. In what we see going on right now, like we, you know, we didn't get into the whole Doja Cat thing, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But like, self hatred is huge, dude, and it, and you know, it impacts so much. And like, the song is really dope, and he's super talented. And you know, I want to check the short film out. I think it's only available on British iPlayer, so I'm going to probably have to like torrent it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to check the film out. And I think we need to, you know, it's one of those things like, you know, we need to talk about like self-hatred. And these aren't things that just affect, you know, anybody specifically, man. These are things that run deep, you know what I mean?
Right.
White supremacy is a fucking is a beast, man.
It's crazy because I was trying to think. I was like, have I ever heard anybody address skin color and self-hatred and white supremacy specifically in a hip-hop song? The only thing I could think of, you remember what's the song on Rash Cat, Soul on Ice, where it's like, for every nigga on lock, I can't stop and it won't stop. I think it's like The Evil That Men Do.
Yeah, I think that is The Evil That Men Do.
That joint. But he definitely talks about being a kid and covering himself in baby powder so he could look white.
Yeah.
Which was like a crazy, when he said that, it's a lot of crazy shit that he says on that whole album. But I remember being young, and when he said that, I was like, God damn, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think Chino XL has one too. I think Chino XL has one on his first album.
I haven't listened to that album so long.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to remember what the name of that song is. But yeah, there's I think there's a song on his first album that he talks about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is dope. I would check it out. It's Skin Is My Sin. It's listed under ASIMC, so it's ASIMC is what he goes. His real name is like Asim Chaudhry or something like that. I forget exactly what his real name is. But he plays Chapati G on People Just Do Nothing. So if you need, and if anybody out there listening who listens to us and hasn't watched People Just Do Nothing, go do that too.
Right.
Also dropped this week was Run the Jewels 4.
Yeah, the fourth one.
Yeah.
I did listen to that. It's pretty dope. I mean, if you fuck with them, then you'll fuck with this.
Yes.
You know what I mean? A lot of like righteous anger on that fucking record. I really, really like the song with Gangsta Boo on it.
Me too, yo. Yeah, I really like that joint.
Walking in the Snow shit. That's like the best shit on there. And like Greg Nice is on it. Zach De La Roca is on it.
Yeah.
I never say like for the culture or shit like that, because that's like a sucker term at this point. But like, for the people, we need Zach to come out with like a rap record.
Yeah, I remember there was rumors of that for a long time, man.
It was supposed to be him rapping, LP, DJ Shadow, and I think Trent Reznor doing all the beats, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some of the songs came out. Like, I know one of the songs with him and Shadow came out. One of the songs he did with LP came out. But the rest of that shit, it never really materialized. But yeah, he's like, he's still like sharp with it too.
Yeah.
You know, motherfuckers get old and they bars like fall off a little bit. But yeah, he's getting busy on this joint.
I did like once that went off, I went and listened to a bunch of Rage shit. Like when I stopped listening to the Run of Jewels joint, I was like, "This is some Rage, man."
That's what we need, yo. Like motherfuckers was like, before quarantine happened, and Rage was like, "Yo, we gonna come back and we gonna do a tour." Niggas was grinding Rage up, like, "Yo, they doing Coachella? That's some sellout shit." One, Rage been doing corporate festivals since, you know, the first album, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's nothing new. But also that like rage and like righteous anger in music, we need that shit.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And you know, what's crazy, I think you posted about it too, like it's crazy to see like all the people who are like, "Yo, man, like we need to you know, peaceful protest is one thing," and like you grew up on like Rage Against the Machine and Public Enemy, dog. Like, chill the fuck out.
Yo, dog,
tear some shit down.
What's crazy about that, I was watching, niggas been grinding up Sway's DJ Wonder.
Yeah.
He's like a white dude, and apparently, I've never seen this. I watch Sway's show, you know, from the time to time. I love Sway. I love Heather B.
Heather B, yeah.
But I've never really seen him, the DJ, like interact with people. I know his selection for beats are terrible. Like when he
when he does the Five Fingers or whatever it is.
Yeah, his beat selection is awful. He came up, third bass was up there. He's like playing trap beats for these two like 50-year-old white men to rap over. So I know he's a herb on that level, but apparently he's like on some like MAGA bootstraps type shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And motherfuckers
were not surprised.
Right. So like a clip of him arguing with Killer Mike on the show resurfaced. You know what I mean? People been like grinding him up about it. But at one point he says, because Killer Mike's like, "Well, you know, hip hop's political and it's, you know, it's been about black liberation and black resistance and all of that shit."
Mm-hmm.
And homeboy says flat out, "You know, I was always bothered by the political content in hip hop. You know, I like beats." I'm like, "Fam, are you serious?" And this nigga, he look like he like our age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He might be a couple years younger or older. I can never tell how old white people are, but like
that's when Sway should have got up and was like, open the door, like, "Yo, you can kindly see your way about."
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, dog, Sway, that Sway, you grew up in the Bay.
Yeah.
In the 70s, 80s. And I know you grew up around some Black Power shit. The home of the Black Panther Party.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You got this motherfucker sitting up here talking about, "Oh, I never really liked political hip hop." But I feel like that's the case with a lot of people. They feel like the energy of the music, and like maybe they were like young, angsty teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of motherfuckers don't really get down with the politics of like punk and, you know, hip hop, and to a lesser degree, metal, because sometimes metal is radical, but sometimes it's reactionary and white supremacist too. But mainly like punk and hip hop, that shit is political music and it's like revolution music. A lot of these motherfuckers just liked it because it was hype, and then, you know, they walked into the world with their whatever beliefs that they had, and they've ignored the political context of the music.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, dude, if you go listen to like Rage's lyrics, like they're talking about like, "Yo, it's cool if you die because you wore a badge." Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like
it's not like no, you know, happy shit.
No.
They're like talking about motherfuckers listen to like Public Enemy and they're uncomfortable with like Black Lives Matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I see that so much in hip hop now. You have like white youth that grew up in this shit. And they just, and I feel like a lot of times too, that idea of like liking black music but ignoring the politics of it really shapes white people's taste. I see it in the music journalist sphere as well, the kind of rap music that, you know, white music journalists in particular will gravitate to. A lot of times, you know, they're like not comfortable with like the more like radical political stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, dude, you're even seeing it now with like some college football coaches where they're talking, where they're saying like, "Hey, listen, man, if you're gonna cheer," and I think this started with players, and then the coaches like were like, "Yo, we got to hop on board," or like, "We're gonna look really bad." Right. But like, you know, I've seen it where they're just like, "Hey, listen, you know, if you're gonna cheer when I score a fucking touchdown, and you need to support me when I'm talking about my fucking life."
Right. Life and death and, shit.
Yeah, and like you've seen coaches come out recently and been like, "Yeah, listen, if you're gonna cheer when these guys score touchdowns and get interceptions, like we need to be talking, we need to be supporting them when they're trying to talk to us about other shit."
Right. Right.
So real quick before we get out of here, I do wanna mention Rami season 2. Just for people who don't know, I mean, we mentioned season 1. You put me on. Season 1 was amazing, but I think honestly season 2 is master of none level jump from season 1 to season 2.
Nice.
This show does the same thing.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. Like in all the last season 1, the mom and the sister got their own episodes. This season, the mom, the sister, the dad, and Uncle Nassim get their own episodes.
Nice.
So it's I'm telling you, man, like it's so good, so heartfelt, and but it's heartbreaking too at certain points too. It's legit top notch television, and they need to win the Emmy again this year.
Crazy. Yeah, I'm definitely.
And what's his name? Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
Give him the Emmy for Best Supporting Actor because he's fucking amazing in this.
Yeah, I think right after we hop off this call, I'm gonna start watching it. Season 2.
Yeah, it's great, and it's short too. A bunch of the episodes are not even 30 minutes. So nice. I think the first one is like 40 something, and then there's the last one's maybe 40 something, but the rest of them are like 25 to 30 minutes mostly. So. Word. It's easy. Like I shot through it pretty much in one day because it's short. So, but other than that, yo, check us out on all the social medias, Serious Rap Shit on Twitter and on Instagram, Indi_SRS on Twitter and Instagram. You're John_Liberator on Twitter and Instagram.
Word.
Check out Incense Trap and Yoga for the Abolish ICE hoodies and t-shirts. Also, she's a black woman and she runs her business. Like it's, you know, go support that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Other than that, yo, we'll be back next week with some more fire for you. And listen, man, stay safe out there. Don't forget there's still fucking COVID-19 going on. So yes. Please stay safe out there. Mask up, try to keep social distancing. It's been crazy because, you know, they lifted the stay-at-home order, essentially. They're not lifted it, but you know, we're in yellow phase now or relaxed whatever in Pennsylvania. Yeah, and, you know, just the last 2 days, I've been out on the road, like, dropping my kids off and picking them up, and it's fucking traffic is insane.
Right, right.
So there's just so many more people outside now because it's just been lifted a little bit. Please stay safe out there. Continue to, you know, wash your hands and keep your mask on. You know what I mean? And absolutely. Be safe if you're out there. If you're out there protesting, please be safe. We want you guys to, you know, keep the fucking foot on the pedal. But be safe while you're doing it. You know what I mean? And be safe in all angles. You know what we're talking about. So, we'll be back next week, man. Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.